Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 451, Unless You See Signs. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, December 28th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Praise the Lord. We wish you a past Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy New Year all at once. So we get it all in one week. Praise the Lord. So we're so glad to be here this morning. So glad that the House of Healing is alive and well. And we're looking forward to a good service this morning, this evening as well. So if you have some sick friends, some friends that need healing, just bring them tonight. Or those of you who are watching, you can still get over here for prayer time for sure. If you're not too far away, we'd be happy to pray for you, believe God with you, and see God move in a mighty, awesome way. So as we head into the new year, we're going to have a time of fasting. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes before the message this morning just to talk a little bit about fasting. So sometimes people say, you know, well, I fast TV or I fast my favorite program or something. But fasting really means going without food. So, I mean, that's the direct definition of fasting. So here at the church here, we observe fasting usually every January. We've done it different ways in different years. So this year we're doing 3 days each week for the next 3 weeks, starting with January 1st through the 3rd and so on the next couple of weeks. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday kind of fast. So we welcome you to join us in that fast. And the announcements, they said that there's the prayer focus guides to help us pray in unity over several things. So we hope that you avail yourself of that. But when you fast, you can choose how you fast. We're not dictating to you that it has to be a complete fast or that it has to be a certain kind of a fast, but it should be a fasting of some kind of food. Praise the Lord. So you have to determine that for yourself. And if you have medical issues and you have doctor concerns, et cetera, go talk to your doctor. But fasting is a good way of preparing yourself to receive spiritual things. It's setting aside natural things to receive spiritual things. And so we believe that God will move during this time, that you'll get some answers, that you'll get some direction, that you'll get some peace in your heart about the next year that's coming ahead that you'll be walking into. And as a church family, we want to be walking in the perfect will of God, not just the good and acceptable will of God. So we'll be seeking God during these times and be praying together over certain things, especially that God would pour out of His Spirit like He promised to do in the book of Acts. And so we hope that you will join us in that you will participate in a meaningful way, and that it will bring blessing in your life and bring the presence of God in a new and special way. Praise the Lord. So before I start the message this morning, let's just stand and pray. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, especially for your blessing over this past year. Lord, you've been really, really amazingly good to us this year. Lord, we have had your hand of protection over us. Lord, you have blessed us with healing and wholeness and wellness and prosperity, Lord. We're thankful and grateful, Lord, that you are turning our nation around. We ask you for more of that to come ahead, Lord, that you would direct the leadership of our nation, Father God, that you will surround them with godly counsel, that you will raise up many more godly leaders throughout our land, and that your word will prevail mightily, Lord, that there would be that outpouring that's promised, Lord, before you would return, and that your gospel, your good news would be preached to all nations before your return. So we ask you, Lord, on behalf of the people that live in America, live in the United States, Lord, we ask you for a time of peace and prosperity that your word can spread. We ask you, Lord, that you would raise up your people, that you would give them a voice and give them a place in the land, And Father God, that the outpouring of your Spirit would touch lives, Father, across this nation, Father God, and from this nation around the world. We ask you for that outpouring, Lord, to touch the young, the old, the in-between, Lord, and that you would magnificently manifest yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards you. Lord, that you will hear and answer the prayers as you promised to do in your word. You said, ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And Lord, you've told us to be persistent in prayer. So Lord, we thank you for your throne room being open to us, Lord, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we're so grateful to you for everything for this past year and for helping us to step into another new year. And Lord, we just ask as we step into these new days, Lord, that you would give us personal direction, Lord, that we would find the ways to become closer to you, to draw near to you, because your word says that when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And Lord, we know that we need you. Our nation needs you. The people around us need you. And so we want to be part of that process, Lord, in a special way that cooperates with your Spirit ministering into the lives of people like never before. And we give you glory and honor and praise for that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. So today is a special day of healing, special day of healing service for my Father's House of Healing here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So we have been working to train people over these months, over these last months and a couple of years to be the ones who carry the anointing for healing to our city, to our nation, and beyond. It isn't so much about having a special place as it is about being a carrier of his anointing. The Bible says that Jesus in Acts 10, verse 38, says how Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Spirit and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And when he went to heaven, when he went back to heaven, he left us with a commission. He left us with instructions that we should go make disciples of nations. And in doing that, one of the aspects of that, he said we should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Really amazing promise for people who many times don't feel qualified to do that. And so we've been raising up a house of healing, actually raising up people to minister as the house of healing. And in this new year, maybe that will give us a new place to have a house of healing as well. So we're praying about God's provision and his direction with regard to building structures and so forth and how to accommodate what God wants us to do with this ministry. So today I want to speak to you about kind of four important elements of healing, or I don't know if elements is quite the right word, but anyway, you'll kind of get it as we get into it. But starting with John 3:16, which probably everybody has known and committed to memory, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And by eternal life, we mean salvation. Eternal life doesn't start when we die and go to heaven. Eternal life starts when you were born, or when you were conceived, actually. So there's a lot of argument about when a child becomes a person. But in our hearts and in our minds, and according to the word of God, he knitted us together in our mother's womb before we were even imagined. And so God is a great God. He's a creator. And the Bible says that he loved the world of creation, the world that he created. that he gave his only son. One of the footnotes in one of the Bibles I've had have said, or this could be translated, for this is how God so loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he began to talk about what his purpose was. He said, for this purpose I have come to this hour. And that was the beginning of his sufferings and death. And a few verses later, he said that if he was lifted up, that he would draw all men unto him. So you know the heart of the Father as being manifested through his son Jesus, whom he sent as a gift to the world, was to bring salvation to mankind, to bring salvation and healing and deliverance and everything that salvation means to mankind. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, one of Jesus' disciples, the Apostle John, said, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so we see that Jesus went about demonstrating what that should look like throughout his ministry. When we read the Gospels, when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he did go about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I think it's significant that Peter, when he was preaching this and when he spoke those words, that he said that Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. He didn't heal just half of them or a few of them or a few select persons. He was indiscriminate with passing out healing. Many times he even healed people who were not of the Jewish tradition, faith, or background. So healing was for everybody. God so loved the whole world that he gave his son Jesus so that Jesus could bring his healing presence and his deliverance and his salvation to humankind around the globe, the whole of creation. Praise the Lord. So today I want to focus on primarily four elements of healing: prayer, the Word of God, endurance, and salvation. And I want to use a story from the book of John chapter, let's see, I think it's John chapter, well, I didn't write the chapter, John chapter 4, starting probably with verse 46 and reading. So it says, so he came to Cana in Galilee. Cana is up on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, where he had made water into wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and he asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said unto him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But the official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour that he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that that was the hour that Jesus had spoken to him and said, your son will live. And he himself believed, and his household, and all his household. And this now was the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea. So I thought it was interesting that the first miracle of Jesus was the wedding at Cana, where he made water into wine and made provision for the family. And then the second miracle was a household miracle of salvation that came to a house where the man had stood up, the man of the house, the husband of the house, the husband of the family, the father stood up and made a relationship with Jesus so that his son could be healed. And that was the second miracle of Jesus. I thought that was significant. Those two things were both about family and about household salvation. So it says that when he came to Galilee, when he came to Cana in Galilee, that this man came forth and went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son because he was at the point of death. So there you see kind of an element of prayer. Today we don't think about it as going somewhere to find Jesus to ask him to do something for us. But we have the concept of prayer that we can come to Jesus anytime. The Bible says we should come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need. And certainly when sickness hits or illness strikes a family member, we have the opportunity to go to the throne of grace and to obtain the blessing, to obtain the healing that we need for our children or for our relative or for our friend or for one that we're interceding for. And that element of prayer is kind of the bedrock of the Christian faith. Jesus taught us, his disciples, that they should ask and it would be given to them, that they should seek and they would find him, that we should knock and the door would be open to us. So he's welcoming that kind of prayer relationship. It would be, it should be a relationship as easy as this man approaching Jesus and asking him to heal his son. But a lot of times we have made prayers into rituals, or, you know, some of us grew up in Christian traditions where we had memorized prayers or prayers from books. There's nothing wrong with either memorization nor with praying from a book. But sometimes that becomes commonplace, and it kind of takes the place of kind of face-to-face reality or face-to-face relationship with the one who can help you. And Jesus demonstrated throughout his ministry that prayer to his Father was important to him, that he set aside times of prayer to seek his Father and to seek his Father's will and to know what his Father wanted to do. In fact, he even said, I don't even say anything I don't hear my Father say, and I don't do anything I don't see my Father do. So his idea of prayer was not so much ritual as it was relationship. And therefore, as believers, if we want to have a vibrant prayer life or an effective prayer life, we need to find that place of relationship with Jesus where we can just talk to him as a friend would talk to a friend, or as a, sometimes we use the concept of marriage and intimacy in marriage to describe the relationship between Jesus and the body of Christ, because we're supposed to be the bride and he's supposed to be the bridegroom. Brides and bridegrooms have relationship. They speak to each other. They share with each other. They are intimate with each other. They're not holding back from each other, at least in a good marriage that would be the case. So Jesus wants us to have that kind of relationship where we can come to him just like this man came and just asked. I mean, you know, like it was, he apparently wasn't afraid to approach Jesus and ask. It says that he was a nobleman, I think is what it is how it described him. So he had some status, but still, I don't know about you, but I would think it could be intimidating approaching Jesus. You know, if you heard about his miracles and you heard about and you heard him teach and you felt his presence, it could be intimidating. When Pastor Karen and I first pastored in a little town called North Judson, we found out about 3 years afterward that for the first year or two, that the people were afraid of me, that they were intimidated by me. So So I started asking some questions, you know, what about me is intimidating, because I don't really see myself as an intimidating kind of person. I don't see myself as particularly unapproachable, or, you know, I guess I could be snobby or snotty sometimes, you know. You can probably ask my wife about that. But I couldn't figure out why would they be intimidated by me. We discovered that most of these people were from the Appalachians. They had moved into Indiana to work in some of the Northwest Indiana industrial complex, the Ford Motor Company and other companies, steel mills, etc., in that area. And so they finally spilled the beans. They said, you know, well, actually, you know, we came from small churches in Appalachia, and we never ever had a pastor who wore a suit and a tie. And so you wore a suit and a tie, and we were really, really intimidated. So after I had eaten enough meals with them and had kilt lettuce and some other kinds of stuff that they were feeding us, and we built relationship, you know, then intimidation was no longer an issue. So we shouldn't be intimidated by Jesus. We should be accepting his invitation and accepting his command to ask, and believing that it will be given to us. Come in a positive way, approaching as a person would approach a friend. And we know that Jesus taught about prayer. You know, he taught about persistence. But he also talked about relationship when he said, you know, if a guy came at midnight and asked a friend, you might not get the bread you're asking for, because it's an inopportune time. But he pointed out that God is not like that. He just said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. So he's opening the door to us to prayer, expecting us to come. So when we relate that to healing or to the house of healing, you know, oftentimes we talk about the book of James. It says, if any is sick among you, let him come and ask the elders of the church to anoint with oil and to pray the prayer of faith. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick, or you could say heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. It's all positive. It's all affirmative. It's all go for it. It's all, and it even adds, if he's forgiven, if he's sinned any kind of sin, he'll even be forgiven. You know, he's not coming for healing, but he'll get forgiveness too. So healing and forgiveness are wrapped up in the prayer request, that we, when we come to God and approach him for healing, we should be in expectation that we'll have exactly what we asked for, that it won't be counterfeit. He said, if a son asks for bread, his father's not going to give him a stone. If he asks for a fish, he's not going to give him a serpent or a scorpion, and so forth. He's going to give you exactly what you asked for, because it's his will. It's his will to heal. And Jesus demonstrated that over and over again, just as he did with this man in the story that we just read. So prayer is one of the key elements that we should be uninhibited to come to God for healing. We should be uninhibited to bring our requests before him and believe that we're going to receive what we have. When Jesus was teaching his disciples on prayer in Mark 11, he said, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Not after you get it, but when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You can't get any more positive than that. It's ask and it shall be given you. When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have what you receive, what you believe, what you say. And then he talks about talking to your mountains and so forth and so on. It isn't really prayer, but it's making declarations, positive declarations concerning the thing that you're seeking God about. Praise the Lord. So that's one really, really, really important aspect of it. And we should never forget that Jesus died so that we could have relationship with the Father. He taught his disciples when they asked him to teach them how to pray. He taught his disciples, say, my Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. It's a request. We have daily needs, and we can come to our Father for that. And then more importantly, he taught them to pray, thy will, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So one of the things that come to play in healing is so many people don't seem to know, at least, whether it's the will of God to heal them or not. They seem confused about it. They don't. Sometimes they think they don't deserve it, or sometimes people have taught them, you know, that God doesn't do that kind of thing anymore, and so forth and so on. So the will of God in it is really important. But if you think about how Jesus demonstrated the will of God every time he met a sick person, you should begin to understand that it's his will to heal you. He's not holding anything back from you, but he's trying to get things to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the second thing I want to talk about is the Word of God. So the Bible says that, first of all, Jesus was the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. Pastor Don, I think, shared that scripture before. Dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor, and truth is establishing the heart of God for mankind. Truth prevails over lies. It prevails over deception. It prevails over mystical things. Truth exposes the darkness and brings forth the light of God. So when the Word was made flesh, in other words, when Jesus arrived, he was the manifestation of the life and the truth and the power of God to bring blessing into the lives of mankind. For God so loved the world, or this is how God loved the world, that he sent his only Son so that we could have truth and light in our lives. He was that Word. So when this man came to Jesus, he was actually coming to the Word that was made flesh. So maybe it isn't explicit that the Word was involved in this miracle, but the Word was involved because Jesus was the promise that came from the Word. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was placed upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. It says, all we went like sheep went astray, but he laid on him the iniquity of us all. So he took away all of the obstacles that would be there for us to receive his word and to receive his healing, or to receive himself as our Savior, as our Lord, as our healer, as our deliverer. So when this man came to him, Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So what he does here is he points out what one of the issues with people are. They want to see something. Man, just let me see some signs. Let me see some wonders. And then maybe I'll believe. But Jesus was not about signs and wonders. He was about believing the Word of God. When he was 12 years old and was in the temple and was speaking with the religious leaders of the time, the Bible says that he confounded them with his knowledge of the Word of God and with his wisdom. So Jesus was the Word made flesh. In other words, he was human. So he had to process things and learn things just like you and I, as we grow up or as we mature, as we learn the things of God, as we become a believer in Christ, that we have to take in the Word of God so that we can become what he wants us to become, so that we can believe what he wants us to believe, so that we can follow after him in a way that pleases him. And so for the Word to become flesh inside of us, we have to access the Word of God. So when he tells this man, unless you see signs, you're not going to believe, he's kind of checking the guy out where he is. He's locating him. So sometimes we need a challenge in order to locate us, right? When our faith is challenged, when our prayers are challenged, we need to find out where we're at. And if we're not in the Word of God, we're going to be looking for signs. Just if I feel better tomorrow, then I'll know I'm being healed. If I don't feel better tomorrow, then I don't know whether I'm being healed or not. Or maybe I had my healing and I lost it. Or all of those kind of questions that come up when the symptoms return. It's as important to know how to keep your healing as it is to receive your healing in the first place. But if you don't have the Word of God on the inside of you, then you have some faith issues arise in believing that you have received what God has already provided for you. So when we say that Jesus healed and forgave us at the same place, at the same time on the cross of Calvary, sometimes it's hard for our minds to wrap around the fact that we already have something that's already provided. But yet Jesus provided it then. He doesn't take it away. He doesn't pull it and give it to you now and then take it back and then pull it back and then take it back and then give it to you again. It's consistent because His Word is consistent. And one of the great things about the Word of God is that it never changes. It's just like God. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." So He's not going to change His mind tomorrow. He said, "I'm not a man that I should lie. I'm not the son of man that I should repent of what I have said." He sent His Word to heal us and to deliver us from His destruction, from our destruction. So we have to hang on to the Word of God and get the Word of God on the inside of us. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. And if we are willing to access the Word of God and begin to feed on the Word of God and begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness and the Word of God, then those things will be built on the inside of us. Because faith does come. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. It doesn't come by having heard the Word of God. It comes by hearing the Word of God. So we should never tire of getting the Word of God on the inside of us, because it builds on the inside of us the very thing that Jesus was challenging with this man. Are you going to believe whether you see a sign or not? Are you going to receive whether you see a sign or not? So when my kids went to Bible school in Sweden, one of the things they taught them in healing school was that after you've been prayed for healing, you should look to the healing. So it always confused me a little bit about, I couldn't figure out whether it was just like Swedish translated into English doesn't make much sense or what. Whatever, but I came to understand that what they were trying to say was that instead of looking at the symptoms, instead of looking at the problems, instead of looking at the setbacks, you should look to the healing. And of course, when you're looking to the Word of God, you can find healing in the Word of God. You can find healing at the cross where Jesus died. You can find healing in every book of the Bible almost. And you should look to that rather than looking at circumstance, situations, or how you feel. Amen. So one of the enemies of receiving your healing is going by your feelings. Because your feelings can go up and down. But God's Word stays steady and constant and consistent all the time. His Word says that no weapon formed against you will prosper, because your righteousness is of Him. And because if you keep your place in Jesus, there's nothing that can tear away from you your healing or your forgiveness, because Jesus provided it at the cross. Praise the Lord. So the first time that I learned this was I was laying in bed really, really sick. I had a condition that I got every year, just like clockwork, and my throat would swell up, and I would run a fever, and I was usually sick for 1 to 2 weeks. I mean, it just was like clockwork. I think on the day that we got married, I was sick with that. So anyway, a friend of mine the co-worker had shared with me some tapes from Frederick K.C. Price. And in his tapes, he was preaching from a place called the Sheep Shed in Kentucky. I don't know if that place still exists or not, but it was a church, evidently. And when he was preaching, he was preaching on healing and getting a hold of the Word of God and getting the Word of God down inside of you so that you could be healed. And so at one place in his sermon, he said, "And all you sick people that are laying around in bed, you know, healed people don't lay around in bed sick. They get up and take a shower and they go to work." And I thought, well, that probably would be true. And he said, "So get out of bed and go take your shower and go to work." So I got up and I took my shower. And, you know, by the time I got done with my shower, I felt a little better. So I was still kind of going by feelings, not so much by the Word of God, but I did feel a little better. So I got dressed, and by the time I got dressed, I felt a little better. So I went to my car and drove the 3 or 4 blocks to work. And by the time I got to work, I felt a little better yet. But when I walked in the desk, into the place, got sat down at my desk, I was like totally healed. And that condition from that day to this has never returned. So I had a history of it up till that time, which was probably 30 years. And maybe not quite 30 years then. But God had healed me, and I received it. And I learned how to walk by faith and not by sight. To walk by the Word of God instead of walk by how I would feel. Praise the Lord. So the Word is a key element in determining determining what you're going to receive from God. So in the book of Romans, Paul said something like this. He said, "So the Word is near you. It's even in your heart and in your mouth, the Word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." So we use that a lot of times when we're ministering to people and bringing them to salvation. But we don't think about it so much when we're talking about healing. But the same thing really applies. The Word is near us, but it has to be in our heart, and it has to be coming out of our mouth, the Word of faith. Because that Word of faith, when we're making our declaration of faith, is like an act of faith to receive what we're believing God for. And so whether it works the same way for healing as it works for salvation, that if you can begin to confess your healing, confess that you're healed by the stripes of Jesus, even when the feelings haven't caught up with that yet, then you can walk out of the place healed and well and whole, and at least on your way to recovery. So I'm all for instantaneous healing, but healing by degrees is okay if it keeps progressing, amen, and doesn't regress into some other kind of thing. Or when something can go into remission and stay in remission is the best place for it. Praise the Lord. So the third part I want to talk about is endurance. So when this man is challenged by Jesus, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe," it says the official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." So when Jesus locates where this man is, he discovers that he's a person of faith, and he's not put off by the challenge to his faith. He has kind of a persistent endurance. And Jesus taught about that, you know, when he taught the disciples the parable of the unjust judge. You know, he taught that we should be persistent in our faith, that we should have faith that has endurance. The Bible even says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And the word saved comes from the Greek word sozo, which means also healing. So if you'll endure to the end, if you'll press through to the end, you can have your healing, but you have to keep pressing through. Sometimes you have to fight the fight of faith to win the victory of faith. And sometimes it's not easy. I know we've all known people who have struggled with health issues, And particularly if something has been longstanding, sometimes it takes some time. Sister Tanya's testimony of being healed of 30 years of stuff that happened to her is an amazing, amazing testimony. And I know she's with us today, and she's going to be preaching tonight on the subject of healing. So just take it, receive it, believe it, keep pressing for it, keep pressing in, because Jesus is faithful to give you everything that you will believe him for, everything that you will trust him for. Praise the Lord. So it says the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that the son was recovering. So he wasn't like, I guess at that point, totally healed, but he was, he had turned back from dying to recovering. So sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it takes some time. But when you follow the word of God, when you believe in the word of God, when you trust in Jesus as your Savior and as your healer and as your the one who has forgiven you, you can take it to the bank. It's on the way. The manifestation is on the way. Praise the Lord. But you have to believe that you have received in order to have it. Sometimes that's really, really hard for us to get a hold of. The concept that I already have what I cannot see. But we believe in a lot of stuff that we can't see. I mean, you breathe oxygen every day, but you've never seen it. Sometimes you believe people you shouldn't believe. But we're built to have faith. We're built to believe. We're built to trust things. We sit down on the chair and we don't think about, wonder if this chair can hold me. Maybe if you sat down on a cardboard box, you would think differently. But in general, we believe a lot of things that we, you know, really don't have any reason to believe other than we've had some experience with it. So the point is we should have a lot of experience with Jesus, keep our faith in God, keep our ears open for testimonies that of people who have received, and just keep encouraging one another in the things of God, so that we can have to the maximum everything that God has provided for us. The Bible says we should fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight, but it's a good one. And a good one is one that you win. It's not the one that you lose. Praise the Lord. So the last part of this I want to talk about is salvation. It says that after this man asked him when his son got better, he said, yesterday at the seventh hour, fever left him, and the father knew that was the hour when Jesus said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all of his household. And then it says this was the second sign that Jesus did when he had come down from Judea. So the greatest thing is our salvation and the salvation of our household. You know, God put us together as families for a purpose. That's God's design. It's not man's design. It's God's design. And you can see in the world that we live in is everything is assigned against that. Everything in society fights against marriage, against family, against households, and then against faith and against salvation, against healing, against deliverance. But God has designed the family to be the unit where the grace of God, the favor of God, and the blessing of God is brought into the earth. And so when it says that this man believed and all of his household, you can see that the miracles of God are designed to bring people to him. They're designed to draw people to the kingdom of God, so that they can see the goodness of God, so they can see the love of God, so they can see the compassion of Jesus. The Bible says that when Jesus healed the multitudes, that he had compassion upon them, and he didn't turn people away. He just refused to be put out by people. Even when people were, maybe came to an inconvenient times, when John the Baptist was murdered by Herod and was beheaded, Jesus was heading out to a deserted place. John was his cousin. John was maybe his mentor. John was at least the one who saw him get baptized in water and baptized with the Holy Spirit. John was a relative of his, a cousin of his. And he went to be away from the crowds and to be alone. But the Bible says that the crowd beat him to that deserted place. And when he was there, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion and he began to heal their sick. And then later on, he fed 5,000 men plus women and children out of his compassion. So you can see that Jesus wasn't put out by people, and neither should we be put out by people. But sometimes we are. But we should see that the household, God wants your household saved. If you're the first person or the only person saved in your family, you should be the light to that family, and your faith should draw the should cast out the net that draws in the family members. And one of the ways is the miracle works of Jesus, the miracle works of God, as in this family here. So we're believing God for big miracles for families when they come here to my Father's house, when they come to my Father's house of healing. We're believing for household miracles to come and touch the lives of men, women, young people, and bringing many people to God. Praise the Lord. So I guess I want to close with this scripture. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." So what's our responsibility towards others? Our responsibility is to take the healing power of Jesus, the love of God, the compassion of Jesus, healing, deliverance, forgiveness of sins, and blessing to those around us. That's our calling, that's our mandate, that's our ministry, it's our mission. And it's not rocket science. Sometimes people say, "Well, I don't know enough about that to do that," but the Bible says you do. It says, "He that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." If that's all you knew, that would be enough to get somebody saved. But you know a lot more than that. If you just fess up, you know a lot more than that. So what are you doing with what you know? Are you letting the compassion of Jesus get on the inside of you to the place where you're willing to take that and lay down your life for somebody else? No, of course not. We're not going to die for somebody. We're not going to go to the cross for them. Jesus already did that. We don't have to bring salvation in that way. But we can bring the salvation of Jesus to others because he died for us. We can lay down our lives for those around us and bring the gospel to them, bring the good news to them, and be a blessing to them. So throughout the Gospels, one thing is really clearly evident. Jesus hated sickness. We ought to hate it as much. It seemed that nothing moved him to compassion more than people that were wandering around like sheep without a shepherd and having no relief from unrelenting sickness and death. Everywhere Jesus went, he touched people, he healed people, he set them free. At Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and he touched her, and the fever left her. But that night, the Bible says that they brought multitudes of people that were sick and demon-possessed to Peter's house, and the Bible says that he healed them all. What an amazing person Jesus was. But that's what he wants us to be to those around us. He wants us to have that same kind of compassion and anointing on the inside of us, to be a carrier of that kind of anointing. Because Jesus put a high value on prayer. He put a high value on the Word of God. And he put a high value on endurance. And the result of that kind of engagement always brought salvation. It brought healing. It brought deliverance. So Jesus the healer is still alive, and he's well today. And he is manifesting himself, revealing himself through people of faith everywhere. We just have to be on point, on target with God, and be prepared to do the works of the ministry. The job of the fivefold ministry is to equip the body of Christ for the work of the ministry as well as to build them up. Praise the Lord. So we want to encourage you with everything that's in you. Go after God this coming year. Get the Word of God on the inside of you. Begin to reach out to people with the grace of God and with the blessing of God. And let the Holy Spirit move through you and bring healing to the next generation. Praise the Lord. Because without it, our world is lost and dying. And they're looking for you. They're needing you. They're wanting you. They're desiring you. Praise the Lord. So let's be God's messengers to our generation this year like never before. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's stand. I'm going to pray for those online, and then I want to lead us in some declarations. So, Father, we pray for those online today that might be needing healing this morning. Lord, those that are not able to come because of sickness or some kind of hindrance come. We ask you, Father, that your healing power would touch them, Lord, that your word of God would explode on the inside of them, Lord, and that your word will work mightily, Lord. We pray for the person with long-standing illness, Lord, in Jesus' name. We rebuke that condition by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. We command healing to flow in their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We command the healing presence of Jesus to come into the room that they're in. And we thank you, Father God, for totally setting them free from sickness, from weakness, from infirmity of every kind. Cancer, you die now in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood of Jesus. Infirmity of every kind, I rebuke you by the blood of Jesus and by the authority of Jesus' name. Get out of their lives now. Stop, cease and desist your maneuvers against them. You spirits of fear, go from them now by the blood of Jesus. And Father God, let your word rise within them now. The healing word, the healing presence of Jesus arise from within them where your Holy Spirit lives, Lord. And set them free totally from this sickness, from this disease, from this weakness, from this infirmity now in the mighty name of Jesus. The person with heart troubles and heart problems, I speak to your heart in the name of Jesus. Be healed now. Be set free now by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. The person with diabetes, I speak to that blood sugar levels and command them to return to normal and never go back again by the blood of Jesus and by the authority of Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for asthma being healed now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for migraines being healed now in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father God, for cold and flu symptoms going now, Father, because the healing power of Jesus is invading their space now. Thank you, Father God. Every symptom, I command you to bow your knee in the name of Jesus. Obey the word of God and get out of their bodies now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for the word of God, for your word, Father, working mightily inside, Lord, bringing healing, wellness, wholeness, and restoration, Father God, recovery now in the name of Jesus. You in the sick bed, get up out of there and walk now in the name of Jesus. I command bones to be healed now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your presence and for your love, Father, manifested amongst us now in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory, honor, and praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. So I want you to repeat after me Thank you, Jesus. You are the Word made flesh.
You are the Anointed One.
You went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You are living in me. My body is your temple. It's your place of habitation. I'm healed, I'm well, and I'm whole. I'm a carrier of your anointing. I accept your calling and commission. To heal the sick.
To raise the dead.
And to cast out demons. I have authority over serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the devil. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I live under the shadow of the Almighty. I have Psalm 91 protection over me. You sent your word and healed me. And delivered me from destruction. Your word is life to me. It brings healing and health to my flesh. I am blessed in my body. I am blessed in my soul. I am blessed in my spirit. I am blessed in my family. I am blessed in my home. I am blessed coming and going. I am prospering and living in good health. Just as my soul prospers. I am blessed to be a blessing everywhere I go. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.